The Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey is a leading provider of advanced reproductive technologies, sharing its knowledge with you. It's time for Fertility Talk with RSCNJ. Here's Melanie Cole.
Same-sex female partners who want to have a baby have a number of different treatment options to help them conceive. My guest today is Dr. Virginia Mensah. She's a specialist in reproductive endocrinology and infertility at the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. Dr. Mensah, I'm so glad to have you on. What an interesting topic. Tell us about lesbian couples that want to have children. What do they usually go through? What is it like for them?
Well, good morning, Melanie, and thanks for having me on the show today. It is indeed a very exciting topic, and thanks for having me on to discuss it today. So often with our same-sex female couples, they have a number of different options for attempting to conceive together. Most commonly, it is going to involve something that is generally termed third-party reproduction. And specifically, what that means is the use of donor sperm of some form in order to either do inseminations or sometimes to use in the process of what we call reciprocal IVF. Oftentimes, though, the first part of any evaluation of any couple that is attempting to conceive together, though, is going to be a basic evaluation, including blood work to often look at their hormonal testing as well as preconception testing, and then also some level of a uterine evaluation on whichever one of the couple essentially is the one that's interested in carrying the pregnancy.
Then tell us a little bit about reciprocal IVF. How does it work? Tell us about it.
Yes. So reciprocal IVF, or as it's also colloquially known, co-IVF, it's essentially a process where, let's say, one of the partners wants to actually be the egg source. They would undergo a cycle of in vitro fertilization so that we could collect their eggs. And then meanwhile, those eggs would be fertilized with a donor sperm of their choosing. The other partner from the couple could then essentially be the carrier of the pregnancy. So she could be the one to actually carry the pregnancy that results from the union of her partner's egg as well as the donor sperm.
That's so cool. So how do they decide which partner should provide eggs and who should carry the pregnancy? Do you counsel them along these lines?
So a lot of that is just a personal decision that, you know, goes with the couple themselves. You know, potentially one of them has a preference to carry the pregnancy. Sometimes that's not the case, and they both want to take turns carrying each other's pregnancies. Sometimes we do need to get involved, and it does involve a little bit of history taking on our end, such that, you know, if one of the partners has, let's say, some sort of uterine anomaly or uterine issue, they may not be a suitable individual to carry a pregnancy. And also, you know, alternatively, it's possible that maybe one of the partners is a little bit more of an advanced or older age, and therefore she may not be able to undergo a cycle of IVF successfully to retrieve eggs. So it is a conversation that we have when we meet with the couple to sort of see what best fits their situation.
How tough is it to find a sperm donor? What's involved in that?
So these days, it's actually pretty easy in the sense that there's a lot of commercially available sperm donation agencies, places like California Cryobank or Fairfax Cryobank. There's a number of different ones out there that different fertility centers work with. And these donors have all been screened for different genetic conditions as well as infectious disease conditions, such that when a couple is ready to use the sperm, they can actually just go online to a website, purchase the sperm, and then have it forwarded to their fertility center for use.
We've had you on before, Dr. Mensah, and we've talked about various fertility issues and insurance. Does insurance recognize reciprocal IVF?
So unfortunately for many couples out there, it is not the case that insurance recognizes it.
So then how do they discuss the financials with you and also legal considerations? Tell us about some of these kinds of awkward details that you sometimes have to discuss.
Absolutely. So from the cost perspective first, certainly, you know, different fertility centers, including our own, will have different financial options often for helping couples to afford this. Unfortunately, it can get to be an expensive process. So we have wonderful billing folks that work with our couples in these kind of situations to help afford their treatment. From the other side of it, though, the, like you said, the ethical and legal implications of it, I would say most times when it's a couple that is using a an anonymous donor, there are a little bit less sort of legal considerations, largely because anytime that they're using anonymous donor sperm that has already been worked out through the process of the sperm donation with the bank where the sperm was frozen, so that basically that donor sperm, that donor rather, that has donated their sperm knows that they do not have any legal claim to the child that results from any of their donations, basically. On the flip side, however, if it is a couple that has, you know, chosen a donor who is known to them or somebody, as we call it, in a directed donor fashion, then that can be a little bit more legally complicated and challenging and does require the input of a lawyer for both the couple as well as for the donor as to, you know, who has parental rights over the offspring that get generated from the cycle.
Then tell us a little bit about how the process works, and do they have pre-implantation genetic testing? Tell us a little bit about what they go through.
The intended oocyte donor goes through a cycle of IVF where they take stimulation injections in order to increase the number of eggs that they produce. We then go in and extract those eggs. Those eggs then get combined with the donor sperm. And then those embryos that get generated get grown out, and depends on the type of cycle as to whether or not they're transferred in a fresh fashion into the partner who, again, acts as the recipient, or sometimes they're done in a frozen fashion, in which case, yes, the embryos are frozen, and then ultimately the partner's lining gets built up with her own cycle of medications that makes it a receptive lining to place the embryo back in. And of course, we hope that the embryo implants successfully and creates a pregnancy. As to the option of doing genetic testing, it is often an option for couples that are going through this process at the stage where the embryos have reached a certain point in development where they can be biopsied. They can be biopsied, and usually in that setting, they are frozen and then transferred into the recipient partner in a frozen embryo cycle.
Wow, what an incredible process. What would you like same-sex partners to know about researching this and the decisions that they should probably try to make before they come to see you? What goes into it?
Absolutely. Great question, Melanie. And I would say for most couples that are out there, some of them have often, you know, started the process of looking into the option of using donor sperm, but maybe haven't decided yet, you know, which one of the partners is going to carry the pregnancy. And even then, sometimes it's not even a question of that, but more so they're interested in the option of using donor sperm and, you know, essentially just each taking turns being pregnant using that same donor. So those are all kinds of important things to potentially start thinking about before coming to see a fertility specialist. But, you know, even if they haven't fully thought out the process itself, they're more than welcome to come into the fertility clinic and essentially discuss those options of either just using the donor sperm directly themselves or doing that, like I said, pretty extensive process of reciprocal IVF.
Great information, Dr. Mensah. Thank you so much. And as we said at the beginning, what a great topic. Thank you for answering all of those questions and sharing your expertise. Thank you again. And that wraps up this episode of Fertility Talk with RSCNJ, the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. To schedule an appointment, please head on over to our website at fertilitynj.com for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. If you found this podcast informative, as I did, please share on your social media and be sure to check out all the other fascinating podcasts in our library. I'm Melanie Cole.